your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's happening, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. March 31st, last day of the month. We'll be looking in April square in the face. Matter of fact, we're looking April square in the face. And before you know it, the NFL draft will be upon us April 23rd through 25th. Definitely getting excited about that. But here we are, March 31st, 2020. Your boy Q here. You could always catch me on Twitter, as many of you do, at your boy Q254. Coming up on today's show, I got a loaded show for you. Please believe that. Segment number three, I got your calls, I got your texts, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Again, you could call or text that exact number. And I mentioned Twitter earlier. You could always hit me up and send me a direct message or any kind of tweet at your boy Q254. And I actually got a pretty good Twitter message. Matter of fact, a couple Twitter messages coming up in today's show. That's all coming up in segment number three. So definitely a locked and loaded segment. And then segment number two, we are starting back up the Locked On NFL Draft 2020. And what I mean by that is we did a mock draft just on paper. We went 1 through 32 on paper with the Locked On NFL Network. Every single team that's covered on the Locked On Podcast Network, 1 through 32. We did that before free agency. We put down our teams and our players that we wanted to draft. So everyone who covers a team, whoever that is, they had an opportunity to go on the board and pick the player that they wanted when it came down to it. I believe I picked CeeDee Lamb, and I think I picked Kenneth Murray. I think those are the two guys that I picked. I don't even remember now, but it was before free agency. Now that free agency has hit, at least the big wave of free agency has hit, how has that changed? So now we're actually going to do that, and we're actually going to put it not only on paper, but we're going to put it, we're going to record it as well. And so every one of the hosts is going to get about 3 minutes to talk about their pick, and then we're going to debut that on the Locked On NFL podcast like we did last year. And I'll tell you more about that in segment number two. So I'm going to kind of go through my big board just for pick number 12, not 19, but my big board for pick number 12. I'll tell you who's already picked up to this point, and then I'll tell you who I'm looking at right now as far as the pick for the Raiders at number 12. And obviously it's going to depend on a lot of different things. Who's still there when the Raiders pick? Who is the best pick at number 12? A lot of that's going into it, and I'll kind of explain that later on in segment number two. And then in segment number one, oh, and before I forget about this, in segment number two, I found a commercial, an old commercial at the radio station that I did for a strip club. No joke. If it was 2011, the strip club is in Central Texas. It's called Two Minis. I didn't even remember doing the commercial, but they found it in the production room on Monday, and they said, Q, you got to hear this. It's pretty funny. And then when they played it, it was me doing a commercial for a strip club. So if I have time, at the end of segment number two, I'm going to play this commercial for you. It's not very well produced. It was probably not some of my good work. I don't even think I produced the commercial, to be honest, because there's a lot of things I hear in it that I wouldn't have done, but it's still a pretty funny commercial, so I just want to play for you because I thought it was funny. It was from 2011. Anyway, if I have time, it's 1 minute long. I'll play it for you in the end of segment number two, but that's only if I have time. And then here in segment number one, like I do each and every day, hit you with the news and the notes of the day. So let's go ahead and jump right into it right about now. The first news and note I have here is about Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. He had a FaceTime call on Monday with the Raiders, and this is something that NFL Network's Ian Rappaport brought to the table on Monday, said that he had a video call, a FaceTime with the Raiders, and it's not the first one he's had because the Chargers had one as well with them, but because the fact that there are no visits, you can't take visits to the facility, you can't have in-person visits, these teams and these players have to figure out ways to have their interviews with these organizations, and so Justin Justin Herbert had a FaceTime video with the Raiders on Monday. And look, this is nothing that I'm going to say, oh my God, now the team is going to move on from Derek Carr. They're going to go draft Justin Herbert. This is something that John Gruden, he traditionally does every single year. And this is something that Mike Mayock's going to do every single year. So you might as well go ahead and get used to it. If you remember correctly, Kyler Murray, they went and visited. Remember last year, John Gruden went all the way out to Dallas to go see Kyler Murray. Went and got a hat autographed by Kyler Murray, an A's baseball hat autographed by him. He went and worked him out. He went and visited him. He didn't go to the facility. He went and saw him. And all the other top quarterbacks, they went and they did their due diligence on. And they're going to do that, and they should go do that. Because, look, years down the line, you know what? They might end up with a guy on the roster, just like Marcus Mariota, who was the number two overall pick years ago by the Tennessee Titans. All of a sudden, years later, you fast forward later, and now he's on your team as a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. So they have to do their due diligence. There's nothing to get up in arms about and think, okay, see, I told you that they were going to move on. Every single year since John Gruden has been back with the Raiders, he has done his homework and talked to and had visitors that have been quarterbacks that are high in the draft, that are expected to go high in the draft. And again, that is what he's supposed to do. So am I going to be surprised when they say, oh, he had a FaceTime with Jordan Love. He had a FaceTime with Jalen Hurts. I mean, they already talked to Jalen Hurts at the Combine, and they talked to a lot of these guys at the Combine as well. But having those visits, they're going to do, and they're going to do them by way of FaceTime because that's what they have to do. Now, there are rules on this. Each call between teams and prospects can last no more than an hour. Teams can schedule no more than 3 telephone or video conferences with an individual draft-eligible player per week. And any telephone or video conference must be reported to the player personnel department upon completion, along with the call participants, date, time of the call, and total length of the call. So again, the NFL is going to make sure that they monitor this, and it's not just going to be, you know, hells on wheels. They can't just go and have a FaceTime meeting with everybody. They just can't, you know, go lose their mind. I mean, these are basically considered official visits. They can't last more than an hour. They can't have any more than 3 telephone or video conference with an individual draft eligible player per week. And you must report all this to the player personnel department upon completion. You got to have the participants, the date and time of the call, and the total length of the call. Again, we know Justin Herbert has a strong arm. We know Justin Herbert is mobile. He can move with his legs. He's a guy that I just have so many questions about. You know, I talked to the host of Locked On Ducks on Sunday, and he asked me a little bit about Justin Herbert. And I said, you know, I just got a big question on him. I got a big question because I don't exactly know who he is. One day I see him and I think that, man, that's the dude. And then next time I see him and think, he's not really that good. This guy could end up being a terrific leader of men. He could end up being a terrific quarterback. I just don't have 100% answer. I really don't. And again, don't think that he's going to be available when the Raiders go to pick at number 12 anyway. I don't expect them to trade up. I think he's going to go to the Chargers at number 6. That's just my gut feeling. That's what it tells me. But again, who knows? Because we've seen stranger things happen. We've seen guys fall for one reason or the other. And hey, if he happens to be there at number 12, then maybe the Raiders have a decision on their hands. And you know what? If he's there at number 12, that might be a good pick. It really might be. If he falls at number 12, and they really like him based off of what they've seen on film and the interviews that they had. So again, nothing to get super up in arms about. Just know that they're going to go and do their due diligence with as many quarterbacks as possible because John Gruden is a quarterback guy, and that's what he likes to do. My next piece of news is TJ Carey. Remember the former Raider? He agreed on a contract deal with the Colts. The last 2 years, he was in Cleveland. He was basically the third corner. He stepped up in a major way when they had a bunch of injured corners. He basically was released because a salary. He was a cap casualty. He was supposed to make about $8 million, and instead of giving him the $8 million, the Cleveland Browns saved over $6 million in cap space in 2020 by releasing him. Played pretty well. He had 52 tackles, 1 sack, 4 passes defense, 1 interception, and 1 forced fumble in 16 games with 6 starts in 2019 with the Cleveland Browns. And that's a guy that a lot of people said, hey, you think the Raiders should bring him back? Nah, I think that ship has already sailed. And so good for TJ Carey. He was a 7th-round pick of the Raiders out of Ohio. Remember that? I mean, there's not a whole lot of 7th-round picks that stick around the league for a while. And he's done really, really well sticking around for 6 NFL years. And he's obviously going to continue with the Colts. So good for TJ Carey. He's going to continue to do his thing. Now, as far as the NFL draft go, the NFL has begun inviting top prospects to participate. Now, you know it's not going to be in Vegas. So what do you mean? They're asking these prospects to participate virtually in next month's draft. The communications continue, and basically in all this, 50 plus people are expected to be involved by way of video, social media, etc. No trip to Vegas, but players and families will receive what they're calling a draft package as well. Matter of fact, there's a letter, and Tom Pelissero put this out on Twitter. He's from NFL Network. In a letter to invited prospects, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Ops Troy Vincent writes, "Our plan is to connect with you, NFL fans, watching the draft live from around the world directly from your home." So the NFL players will join the league and they'll be part of the festivities, but they're going to be staying at home. My final note for segment number one here is about expanded playoffs, and there's actually going to be a vote happening later on today that's going to kind of just solidify the what we already know, that the NFL is going to expand their playoffs, their playoff teams from 12 to 14. The new playoff structure was approved by NFL players earlier this month in a new collective bargaining agreement, and today it will likely bring its final approval. In place of the NFL's traditional annual league meeting, which was canceled because of the league dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, a conference call will take place among league owners today. Four votes will take place, with the most important one being expanded playoffs, which is expected to pass. The vote will require an approval of any potential changes to seeding and tie-breaking as well, and will require a 3/4 majority vote. Now, the second vote will serve to approve the broadcast networks who will air the new playoff games. The league and its players union agreed to a new structure in the CBA that added one team per conference, creating six total wildcard games and just one first-round bye for each conference, adding two additional wildcard games to be broadcast. The vote will also include deciding on a new deal with Amazon that's going to run through 2022 to continue distributing Thursday Night Football. An additional vote on health and safety, game data involving performance tracker and sensor information is expected to occur as well. And then the final note, the call will also include updates on preparation for the upcoming NFL draft, the league's COVID-19 response, and other league matters such as timing of the 2020 schedule release. There will be no votes on playing rules, which tend to take more time to discuss for obvious reasons, with each call set for just 1 hour. So all in all, there's going to be a lot being taken care of later on today. And again, it's going to be all on a big, long conference call, and it's going to be a lot of votes. But the biggest thing is the expanded playoffs, which no doubt about it, it's going to get approved. Just needs a 3/4 majority vote. But after today, we'll know for a fact that the NFL playoffs will be 14 teams instead of 12. So that's going to do it for the news and notes here in segment number one. Coming up in segment number two, the Locked On NFL Network is having their mock draft. We did it last year. We did it earlier this year, pre-free agency. This is post-free agency, and this is it. This is the real deal now. I mean, this is going to be our final whatever we think. So I'm going to talk about my big board, going to talk about the different guys that I have on my list and where I think that they can go and why I have them placed in the order that I do have them on my list. We'll talk all about that coming up in segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Echelon. Now, you hear everyone talking about Peloton, right? But the cost of those connected fitness bikes make them way too expensive for people like me, your average person. So introducing Echelon Fit. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone. I'm talking busy moms, dads, first responders, athletes, whatever your activity level, they got you covered like a Jimmy hat. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot into a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete detail of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's Echelon, echelonfit.com/LONFL, echelonfit.com/LONFL. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are jumping into segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this last day of the month, March 31st, 2020. Your boy Q here at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And here on the Locked On Podcast NFL Network, we're in the process of putting together our mock draft, NFL Draft 2020. Each one of the hosts makes a pick for the team they cover, and then each of us will contribute a 3-minute audio clip of why we made that pick. We did it last year. It went off really, really well, and this will be doing it again. We did a little trial run pre-free agency. We kind of went through and saw where everyone was thinking that the team should do at that point. But this is the real McCoy now. So this is going to actually start airing on April 10th on the Locked On NFL podcast. And again, we aired it on the Locked On NFL podcast last season. Went really, really well. Again, I encourage everyone to go check that out. But it will start on April 10th, which is a Friday. And then it's going to air the following week, Monday through Friday as well. And that's how they'll get through all 32 of the teams. And so very excited about it. So right now, Monday is actually when it started and it got opened up, and apparently we're supposed to try to get through it in a couple days. When we did the first trial run, it took us forever to get through the 32. I don't know why. It shouldn't be that difficult, but I do like the fact that people are thinking about it, and you could put trades in if you want, and trades are accepted, but they got to be realistic trades. And so I'm putting together a big board on who I'm expecting could possibly be there. I got guys that on this list that I know aren't going to be there, but I'm going to have them on there anyway. So right now I have 8 guys, and this is all for the number 12 spot. This is not for 12 and 19. I have 8 guys on my board of, okay, this is who I want, and this is who I'll pick, and I'll pick them in this order if they are available. So again, 8 different guys, and depending on what the people in front of me do, and depending on if there's any trades or not, we'll see what happens. As a matter of fact, so far on this mock draft that they're doing, there's already been one trade. Matter of fact, the Chargers traded with the Giants. So I'll get to tell you exactly what has gone on so far, and this isn't going to ruin the draft because you're going to be able to hear what everyone thinks, what everyone's on their mind, but I'm just going to tell you who's off the board as of right now, and then I'm going to go into who's on my big board for number 12. And look, by the time it gets to number 12, some of these guys ain't going to be on the board. But as of right now, where they are, these are the guys that I have that are available. So the first guy that I have on my big board is Isaiah Simmons, linebacker, safety out of Clemens. And as of right now, he has not been picked. And right now, we're only through the first 7 picks, and he has not been picked yet. So I still have Isaiah Simmons as my top dog. That'd be my choice number one, numero uno, if Isaiah Simmons happens to be there at number 12, or maybe I get a little squirrely if he gets within reach. You know, maybe he gets to number 10, maybe he gets to number 11 and he hasn't been picked yet. Then all of a sudden I decide to get, you know, a wild hair up my backside and decide, you know what, I'm going to go and pull the trigger and make a move up. I might go ahead and do that because Isaiah Simmons is that stinking good. He could play linebacker. He could play safety. He could play about 9 different positions on that defensive side of the ball. And so he's just that good that he would be worth it. So yeah, I have him as my number one top dog. Number two, I left blank because I had Jeffrey Okuda up there as defensive back from Ohio State, but he's been taken. He's already been taken off the board, so I just kind of went through and crossed him off. So he doesn't even matter. And I didn't replace him. I didn't put a number two in there. I just moved on to number three. Number three, CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. He's my number one wide receiver. And look, I know CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, those are the top three dudes. And I just have CeeDee Lamb above Jerry Jeudy just because I think that he's the guy who's going to be a little bit more physical after the catch. He's going to be that dog that's going to get to the end zone. He's a big-time leader. Oklahoma loved him, and he didn't have a wide receiver that was just as good to him or even complimentary to him, really, at Oklahoma, and he was still the dude, whereas Jerry Jeudy had a lot of talent on the field with him, so it kind of makes him a little bit better. Are Jerry Judy's routes a little bit more crisper? Absolutely. A little bit more cleaner? Absolutely. But I still think CeeDee Lamb is going to be wide receiver number one. I think he'll probably be the best and most reliable wide receiver for the long run for the Raiders. So that's who I have penciled in as the number three option on my big board. Number four, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver out of Alabama. Only number two because of all the talent that he had around him and for every reason that I just talked about CeeDee Lamb. And then coming in at number five, should not be a surprise, Henry Ruggs, wide receiver out of Alabama, speedster that could do so many things offensively. So, I mean, I don't think that there should be any surprise who my top five guys were. Isaiah Simmons, Jeffrey Okuda, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, with Jeffrey Okuda already be taken. So I had to just go ahead and erase him from the number two spot. Now, here's where it gets a little bit interesting. Number six, Derrick Brown, defensive tackle out of Auburn, a dog on the defensive side of the ball. Many people have him ranked as high as a second-ranked defensive lineman behind Chase Young. I think that in this case, if the Raiders were to get him, you draft him and you just figure out how it's going to work because the Raiders have a lot of guys on the inside right now. They have Mo Hurst. They have PJ Hall. They have Jonathan Hankins. I mean, they have Malik Collins who they just picked up. I mean, they got dudes. You know what I mean? But I just feel like if you go and get a dude, and this is an absolute dude, I mean, this is a guy that carries some big stones around in his pocket, if you know what I'm talking about. You go and get a guy like him, and you just figure it out later. So that's my number six option right there on my big board. Javon Kinlaw, defensive lineman out of South Carolina, almost for the same exact reason I talked about Derrick Brown, except for he's a little bit raw. He's still kind of raw. He has a lot to learn, but he's still one of those difference makers. He's a guy that's a little bit older. He played through his senior year, but a lot of teams really like Javon Kinlaw. He's one of those guys that you don't know if he's going to go number 12 or if he's going to go number 22. I mean, there's a big range on emotions and feelings behind Kinlaw, but again, a really good player on the defensive side of the ball. So he's number 7 on my list. Number 8 on my list, I think this is going to surprise a lot of people, it's Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma. And I know that Corey Littleton was gotten free agency. I know that Nick Kwiatkowski was gotten free agency. But I just think, and I'll tell you right now straight up, I would not be shocked. He won't be the guy I pick at number 12. I don't think that he'll be the one that I have to pick. Again, he's 8th on my list for guys at number 12. Not in the first round, just at number 12. This is my 1-8 for my pick number 12, not 12 and 19. So let's get that straight. But I would not be surprised. I'll tell you this right now. I would not be surprised or shocked if Kenneth Murray is the guy at number 12 that the Raiders go with. Just like Clee Farrell went number 4, and a lot of Raider Nation, including myself, looked over at the person sitting next to us and said, what? At 4? Wait, what? That was because that's the guy that they identified that they liked. Regardless if he wasn't a true edge rusher, he wasn't going to be a guy that they went and drafted to replace Khalil Mack. He's not one of those guys. He's just the guy that they identified as their guy. Did they want to move back and maybe get him at like 11 if possible? Sure, but there wasn't a trade partner, so they went ahead and pulled the trigger on him at number 4, and a lot of people thought that was very high. And again, when I first heard it, and I was there in Nashville when it happened, I thought it was kind of high. But after hearing what Mike Mayock had to say, his explanation, I understood it. And so with that knowledge in my memory bank, I wouldn't be shocked if Kenneth Murray is the guy that they go ahead at number 12 and pull the trigger, just because he is a guy that I think that they really respect as far as a leader. He's a competitor. He's a guy who off the field has dealt with a lot of adversity. You know what I mean? I mean, he's taken care of people inside his home. He's basically been the father in his household. And he's got some special needs children that live in his house that he's helped take care of. He's been a captain on that Oklahoma team for years. And he's just a guy that I think and I look at and I say he has Gruden and Mayock written all over him. So the one thing that they've proven to me is that they don't really care where they're drafting or if you think that that's too high or maybe they reached on a guy. If it's the guy that they identified as the guy that they want, that's going to be the guy that they go get. Now, again, this is my mock draft. On the Locked On Network, we're doing it as my draft, so I'm not going to pick him at number 12 and say, okay, well, this is what I think the Raiders are going to do. I'm going off the top of my dome of what I would do if I was in the hot seat and I had to make the call. So that's why Kenneth Murray is my number 8 guy. But again, would not be shocked to see Mayock and Gruden pull the trigger at number 12 on Kenneth Murray. And it would be for every reason that I just mentioned. But now that I go, you know, like I said, go through this and this, now I have my big board established and now I just have to kind of wait and see how the Locked On Podcast Network, how their draft goes. I don't think it should be a surprise. Joe Burrow's going to go number 1 to Cincinnati. Chase Young, number 2. Jeffrey Okuda, number 3. I mean, that's kind of status quo, right? It's almost every single draft or every single mock draft we've seen, that's how it's gone. On this, it gets twisted up a little bit because the Giants and Chargers make a trade. The Chargers trade up to number 4 and go get Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback out of Alabama. So now you got a quarterback from LSU off the board. You got a defensive end from Ohio State and Chase Young off the board. Jeffrey Okuda, defensive back out of Ohio State, he's off the board. Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback out of Alabama, he's off the board. Justin Herbert, quarterback out of Oregon, he goes number 5 to the Miami Dolphins. So now the Dolphins didn't get Tua. They go and get their next guy, number 2, quarterback number 2 that they have on their board, and that's Justin Herbert. Number 6, the New York Giants, they go with the offensive tackle. They moved back from number 4 to number 6. They go with the offensive tackle and Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle out of Iowa. And as we're talking, no joke, Raider Nation, this is how mock drafts go. As we're talking, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker out of Clemson, comes off the board. The Carolina Panthers pick Isaiah Simmons at number 7. So what I do is go back to my big board and I erase him off my board because now my number 1 guy and my number 2 guys are gone. And again, this is nothing that I'm surprised by because that's what I expect to happen in the real draft in April 23rd through 25th. That's what I expect to happen anyway. I expect both of those guys to be off the board absolutely very early in the draft. you know, 3, 4, 5 in that range. Anywhere from 3 to 7 is the range I see both of those guys being off the board. And like I said, Jeffrey Okuda, number 3 to the Lions, makes all the sense in the world. And if Isaiah Simmons falls to Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers at number 7, that makes a lot of sense as well, especially since Luke Kuechly is retired. They don't have him anymore. So now you go back to my big board and I say, okay, well, who's my next guy up? CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. So if everything stays status quo and CeeDee Lamb is not drafted, that's the guy that I'll pull the trigger on. But he might. I mean, think about it. Arizona, they're up next. CeeDee Lamb could go there. I know they just got DeAndre Hopkins, but what does that mean? Jacksonville Jaguars, CeeDee Lamb could go there. Cleveland Browns, I think they have enough wide receivers. The Jets, he could go there. And then boom, number 12, the Raiders are on the board. So doesn't look like I'll be trading up in this mock draft, and it looks like I'll be grabbing a wide receiver, but who knows which one it's going to be if and when these guys pick and who they actually pick. And if there's any trades, maybe some teams trade up before me because they know that, well, the Raiders want to go with a wide receiver. So that's also something to pay attention to. But as of right now, it looks like the guy that I'm going to be picking at number 12 for the Raiders is CeeDee Lamb. But it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the guys ahead of me pick before it comes my turn. But Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Jeffrey Okuda, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Tristan Wirfs, and now Isaiah Simmons are all off the board. Again, this whole thing is going to air April 10th. It's going to start on April 10th and go all the way through the following week. Should be a lot of fun because you'll be able to hear every explanation from every Locked On host on why they picked the guy that they picked. And, of course, I'll go into deep explanation not only on that on the Locked On NFL podcast, but, of course, here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Now, before I get out of segment number 2, I told you I had a 2 Minis commercial, which was a strip club commercial I did from 2011 at the radio station. I found it on Monday. I got a couple minutes here before segment number 3, so I'm going to go ahead and play this commercial. Excuse the production. It wasn't great. I don't think that I produced it because I think I do a lot better production than this, but it's a little overmodulated. But either way you look at it, I think it's a pretty funny commercial. So check out my strip club commercial from 2011.
Yeah, man. You know when you hear that sound, it's time to go to 2 Minis. Yeah, baby. 2 Minis, the hottest spot in Waco. You're looking for a good time. It really don't matter what day of the week you go. Every day is a party. Starting on Sunday, you got happy hour prices all night long.
That's guaranteed to have you feeling good.
And one of my favorite nights of the week is Monday with dollar beer all night long. So you got dollars for the beer and dollars for the ladies? Man, that's a bachelor party waiting to happen.
Hey!
Don't forget about Waco's sexiest ladies performing for you on 3 stages. And when you're ready, they got that VIP room for that VIP dance.
Hey, man.
2 Minis is located at 641 Ruby Ave. Happy hour is every day from 4 to 8 p.m. 2 Minis is a place for you and all your friends to go and have a good time with great drinks and great drink specials and an excellent bartender.
What's up, Alvarez?
Yeah, that's the spot. Sexy ladies, 3 stages, VIP room for that VIP dance, dollar beer on Monday, happy hour every day from 4 to 8 p.m., and happy hour prices all night Sunday. So what you waiting for? 641 Ruby Ave is the place you need to be any day and every day. Hey, and you know what? You can put a change of clothes in your car just in case you don't want to go home. Just kidding.
Hopefully you got a good laugh out of it like I did. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks that that's funny, but man, that commercial, and it's funny at the very end of that commercial where I said you could bring a change of clothes and if you don't want to go home, or you could put a change of clothes in the trunk of your car. I actually did that because my homeboy Corey, who's my best friend, he was my best man at my wedding, he used to do that all the time. And hopefully his wife's not listening to this podcast. I'm sure she's not, but if she is, my bad. Anyway, she might want to turn it off right now, but he used to always do that. He used to always leave a change of clothes in the trunk of my car. That's why I said it on the commercial, because he always wanted to make sure that when I dropped him off at his house, he had a change of clothes that he could change it to so he didn't smell like the strip club, which I thought was hilarious. And, you know, I was a single dude at the time, so I was like, man, you better man up and just walk in the house and be like, yeah, I was at the strip club. Me and Q were throwing ones in the air. So what? Now, as I'm a lot older and I'm married, I understand. I understand what he was doing, but it's just funny. You know, it's hilarious, and I used to always make fun of him for that, but that's my dog, Corey. So that's kind of the end of that commercial right there. That was based off of a true story of what my dude used to always do. So hopefully you got a good laugh out of that like I did, and hopefully you enjoyed that segment number 2 on the Locked On NFL draft that we're doing on the Locked On Network. Coming up in segment number 3, your calls, your texts, and your tweets. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this last day of March. March 31st, 2020. Your boy Q, 707-654-4693. That's the number you need to either text or call. You want to get your message on the Locked On Raiders podcast, or you could also tweet me at your boy Q254, and you'll hear text messages, you'll hear calls, and you'll hear tweets coming up here in this segment. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. First up, we got TK from Southern Cali. He's calling back in to share a mock draft post-free agency. Here he is, TK from Southern Cali.
What up, Q? It's your boy, TK from Southern Cali. Just calling in. I did a mock draft and wanted to see your thoughts on it. Last time I called in, I was very adamant about the Raiders going defense at 12 and 19. This was before free agency started, and the way that they addressed the defense, I'm pretty adamant that they do take a wide receiver with that first pick. You know, got to stay ahead of the curve, especially with Denver likely taking Ruggs or a wide receiver. And so I got Jerry Jeudy going number 12. I had the Jets taking CeeDee at 11, unfortunately. And then I'm not sure if he's going to fall to the Raiders at 19, but if he does, I have Javon Kinlaw, defensive lineman from South Carolina. I think he's so dynamic. And if you pair him with Malik Collins, I think that's a pretty dynamic duo on the inside. And that takes some pressure away from, you know, Maurice Hurst and TJ Hall. We've seen them for 2 years now. And Maurice is a good player, but I feel like we've been waiting for him to take that next step. And it just hasn't happened yet. But if you could not put all the pressure on him to start and you put Javon Kinlaw with Malik Collins on the inside, have that pressure from the middle, you know, that gives Nassib and Crosby and Farrell a lot easier task to rush on the outside. I think that would be a very, very, very good pickup at 19. And then I got your boy Jalen Hurts at number 80. I'm not sure he's going to fall that high, but if he does, I think the Raiders should go ahead and grab him. And then at 81, I got KJ Hill, wide receiver from Ohio State. Very dynamic player, doesn't get a lot of attention, but he does everything that you ask him, and he's a proven athlete on the field, at least at the college level. And then at 91, I actually have linebacker Evan Weaver from University of Cal. Doesn't get a lot of attention again. Didn't really, stand out at the combine in any way, shape, or form, but great tangibles, great instincts, and I think he can be a really good sleeper linebacker at the NFL level. In the fourth round, I have safety Antone Brooks Jr. from, I believe it's the University of Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty underrated safety, in my opinion. Great speed, great closing speed. I think he'd be a really nice pickup. And then at the fifth round pick, I have Devin Duvernay, wide receiver from Texas. Once again, I think very underrated receiver, when he was getting the ball, he did everything that was asked of him, especially with him and Colin Johnson. Texas had a pretty dynamic offense in college, so it was fun to watch. I think he can be a late-round sleeper. Just wanted your takes on that and see what you think on a mock draft.
TK, thank you so much for that call, my man. I appreciate you. So unlike me, you have Jerry Jeudy at number 12, Javon Kinlaw at number 19, Jalen Hurts, quarterback at 80, KJ Hill, wide receiver. A lot of people aren't talking about him at 81. Evan Weaver, linebacker at 91 out of Cal. Antoine Brooks Jr., safety in round 4. And then Devin Duvernay, wide receiver in round 5. Those 7 picks right there, all solid players. Jeudy, he's like 1B as far as I'm concerned, as far as wide receivers. I know a lot of people have him as 1A, and that's okay. Kinlaw, a dog. I mentioned that in segment number 2. Jalen Hurts, I think we all know how I feel about him. I really like him a lot. KJ Hill, good wide receiver, a lot of people aren't talking about. Weaver, tackling machine. Don't know how great he is in coverage, but I know that he's a tackling machine. He was getting a lot of love coming out of Cal, especially this past season. And then Brooks Jr., the safety, he's a guy who's very explosive. He's very physical. He comes down with intentions to hurt somebody. Not intention to hurt someone. You can't say that in 2020. He just wants to put a hit on you. You know what I mean? He's going to hit you hard. He's very, very physical. Let's put it like that. Let me clean that up real quick. I don't want to label him as a dirty player or anything. anything, because that's not who he is. But that's just my description of guys. You know, he comes down with bad intentions. That's kind of guys I like. But here's a lot of things about Brooks in coverage that is just not very good, especially in zone coverage. He's not very good. Doesn't really fill space quickly, if you know what I mean. Doesn't cover ground very quickly. So that really concerns me. It reminds me of Reggie Nelson towards the end of his career. And the final one that you had, though, Devin Duvernay, wide receiver. I like him a lot. And let me tell you, there's a backstory on Devin Duvernay. He went to the University of Texas, like you mentioned. He actually was committed to Baylor. He was committed to Baylor. He was supposed to go there. Then all the scandal broke out with Baylor. And for some reason, you know, all the players that were in Art Briles' recruiting class after Briles got fired, they all basically got out of their letter of intent. Devin Duvernay was one of those guys, but he didn't even have to get out of his letter of intent because for some reason, the fax machine, and yeah, they were still using fax machines then, the fax machine, his letter of intent never went through. So Baylor never had it, and they never even, you know, had it on file or whatever. And so they just let him leave because, well, they didn't have a national letter of intent signed by him, even though he intended to go to Baylor and play for Art Briles. Then he goes to Texas, and he was almost lost, man, like in the Bermuda Triangle. He was gone for a couple years where you just really never heard much from him. You think, okay, you know how talented the dude is. I mean, the guy coming out of high school was supposed to be the dude. I mean, the ace boom coon, you know, the number one guy. And he was just basically lost in the wind in Texas. And then all of a sudden last season, he just broke out of nowhere. And he was really the only guy. I mean, you mentioned Colin Johnson, but Johnson really didn't do much last year. You go back and look at what Texas did. UT really, they underachieved under Tom Herman last season. But Devin Duvernay was an absolute monster. You want to talk about a dude who built his stock up just based off of one season and really showed who he could be? That's Devin Duvernay. He did most of his damage out of the slot. And I know right now the Raiders have Hunter Renfro, so not sure how they would use him if they were to get him, but it's a real good story, man. He's a guy who really he turned things around and really, really gave himself a chance in this upcoming NFL draft. So I like him wherever he goes. I'll definitely be paying attention to him and have some interest in him and be rooting for him because I think, like I said, he really turned things around and made something for himself. So that's a nice draft right there, man. I'm not mad at that. That's a lot of good stuff. I appreciate you. Next up is a text. What up, Q? What's your opinion on trading up to land Ruggs? That 4.27 speed is game-changing. Get Murray at 19. We could land another receiver in third, possibly Van Jefferson from Florida, who I think is just as good of a route runner as Judy. What do you think of Jefferson? Thanks for doing such a great job. That's from Raider for Life Joe. I'm not a big fan of trading up, period. I mean, I'm just not. That's unless it's just a game changer, a big-time difference maker. And I know Ruggs could be, but, you know, as we've kind of documented over the past few days, he's more of a complimentary guy, not really a true numero uno. You know, he's not top dog. He's not the dude with the biggest stones in the room, if you know what I'm talking about. That 4.27 speed is elite. Don't get me wrong. That is absolutely elite, but don't think he's the best wide receiver. Only thing I'm concerned about is the Broncos going to get him, and then he has to play against the Raiders twice a year, and then the Raiders defensive backs have to deal with him. That'd be one of the reasons why I go get Ruggs, but like you heard me say in segment number two, my first option is CeeDee Lamb, then Jerry Jeudy, then Henry Ruggs, and I think that is really what it was before the combine as well, but after the combine he ran and everyone saw that 4.27 speed, everyone started thinking of Tyreek Hill and thought, man, what could the Raiders do with Tyreek Hill? So I don't want to really get caught up in that. I want to go with what my original gut told me, and that's CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, and then Henry Ruggs. Van Jefferson from Florida, I do think he's really good. But you know what? To be honest, once you get to the third round, I think there's going to be a lot of really good wide receivers because there's so many of them in this draft. I mean, I looked at round one and just kind of went through all the teams. There could be six or seven wide receivers easily go in round one, maybe even eight. You know what I mean? But still, by the time you get to round three, you could still be at, like, the top 25. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a lot of really, really good wide receivers that I think the Raiders can choose from. Pretty excited about their opportunities and who they can get. So, yeah, good stuff right there. I would say no on trading up for Ruggs. I would say no on trading up for anyone by Isaiah Simmons and Jeffrey Okuda, but that's just me. Thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Jordan from Oregon, he's up next. He's calling in to talk about Justin Herbert FaceTime call that the Raiders had lined up on Monday, and then he shares his thoughts on it. Here he is, Jordan from Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? Jordan Oregon here, calling in on Monday morning. I just got done listening to your podcast, and appreciate the shout-out that you're going to be on the Ducks Locked On. Super stoked to check that out, man. I'm going to be watching for it. As of 9:30 here, hasn't came out yet, but I'm going to be watching and checking it out. But I will say, man, nobody does it like you do. They got a good podcast and all, but this one is absolutely off the chart, man. I appreciate everything you're doing. Just wanted to point out something that just popped out of the news. kind of a little nugget that I think is developing today is that the Raiders have a Skype set up with Justin Herbert. I thought it would be kind of crazy if somehow we did end up with both Oregon Duck quarterbacks, and so kind of staying on the Ducks there. I actually have been kind of pretty much strongly on this is I hope we don't go after Herbert. It's been my opinion for a while, but you know, that's my opinion. Doesn't mean it's the real deal, but I'm kind of excited to hear what comes out of the Locked On Ducks podcast today, and then just to hear more on the interview process. I guess it's going to be a Skype setup, and it's sometime today they're going to be doing an interview with Herbert, the Raiders. So I thought that was cool, man. And then another thing I wanted to point out is I've just been hearing a lot of people, buddies, and I don't know, I guess people on Twitter and just different things that are just under the notion that there's no way that we're getting rid of Carr. And I've been a Carr supporter, and I know I'm kind of bringing out the Carr again, but I definitely think everything's on the table right now. I really do. Carr has good trade value, and if we ever were going to transition to a different quarterback, I think now would be the time, honestly. The more I get into think about it, with it being a new city, kind of a new time for the Raiders, how wouldn't this be the perfect time to transfer over? It's obvious that they like what they have in Mariota, and they like what they have in Carr. But if there is a plan to go with a more mobile quarterback like you spoke of, Q, I think this would be the perfect timing. You know, why start this new chapter with Carr, and then if our plan is to replace him possibly down the road anyway, if they can get a 2 for him, I could see it happening, man. His contract's very tradable, and I could see some teams pouncing on that. And so shout out to the Raiders organization for putting us in a good position with the quarterback room right now. And a lot of people are saying, oh, he knows the playbook, he's a lock. I don't buy that, man. I don't buy that one bit. But anyway, peace out, Raider Nation. Appreciate everything you're doing, Q. Stay safe out there, man. Talk to you later.
Jordan from Oregon, appreciate that call, my man. And look, it's pretty cool that they're doing FaceTime calls with prospects, right? I mean, if you can't meet with them in person, you got to figure out something to do. And so FaceTime, Skype, whatever it is, that's all good. Also, like I mentioned earlier in segment number one, I think that that's what the Raiders are going to do. You know, the same thing they did last year, same thing they did the year before. They're going to meet with all the quarterbacks that are coming out that are expected to be top picks. I still think Carr is going to be the guy to lead off 2020 unless someone comes with some crazy stupid offer. And when I say crazy stupid, I mean at least a second round pick, if not more. It's not impossible that he gets moved. I just don't see it happening. You know what I mean? On another note, I'm going to be on the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Ducks show. I read the tweet wrong, so it's going to be Wednesday's show. So if you want to hear that show, make sure you check it out on Wednesday. As a matter of fact, you know what's even funnier about that is the host of Locked On Ducks, his name is Jordan. So there you go. So maybe you guys have something in common. You guys are brothers and didn't even know it. You know, brothers from another mothers. Anyway, check it out. That'll be out on Wednesday. Next up is a text. Raider Nation, Q, Sean from SLC, texting in response to Border Jumper Raider. The next diamond in the rough I hope we snag is Utah's cornerback Jalen Johnson. A true lockdown corner, I hope we get him. Again, that's from Sean from SLC, Salt Lake City. Thank you so much for that text. And yeah, maybe that's a dude. I've heard some rumblings about Jalen Johnson. Haven't watched a whole lot of film or watched a whole lot of games on him, but I have heard that some people like him. You know, maybe next time I have one of the draft guys on, that'll be a guy I ask him about just to see what they think about him. So that's a good suggestion. I'm going to write it down right now. As a matter of fact, cornerback Jalen Johnson out of Utah, get someone's thoughts on him and who he could be and what he could be on the NFL level. Thank you for that again, Sean, from Salt Lake City. Next up, I got a call from Josh from Indy. He's calling in to talk about the draft and Derek Carr as well. Here he is, Josh from Indy.
Hey, what's up, Q? This is Josh from Indy. I'm not a new booty. I just haven't called in probably 4 or 5 months, but I listen to the show every day. I just want to say I appreciate you putting this on every single day, and you know, especially with the way things are going right now, and I really enjoy all the callers. T3 Raider Facts and all those guys, they do a great job. I just kind of called to talk about the draft, which is really about the only thing we can talk about right now. you know, I'm not a big Derek Carr fanboy or anything, but I really believe that this guy has at times had a lack of weapons, has had played with a lot of bad defenses, and I just don't think the losing is all his fault, but I think that we're moving in the right direction, and that's why In this draft, I think we need to target some more offensive weapons, and I think at number 12, I want to see them personally draft CeeDee Lamb. I think he's the best wide receiver in the draft. He's the most consistent guy. He's a dog. He's good. He's gonna find the end zone. I think he would really help Derek Carr. I think at 19, I think they need to get a speedy DB. You know, I like CJ Henderson. I know he didn't tackle well, but they need some speed on the back end. Somebody to cover the Kansas City guys. And then I think in the third round, I'd like to see them maybe target a wide receiver like KJ Hamler. You know, he's a smaller Henry Ruggs. He's from Penn State. He's extremely fast. He's a good return man. You can use him on gadget plays. He's another nice little toy to play with. And then the fourth round, I like a running back. I like is Anthony McFarland out of Maryland. He didn't have a lot of production last year. He did 2 years ago, but he has a lot of speed too. He's a 4.3, 4.4 guy that would give us a, you know, kind of a home run hitting type tailback. So, anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I hope everybody is safe, and hopefully we'll get back to playing football this fall. So you guys take it easy, bud.
Thank you, my man, for that call. Definitely appreciate you. Target offensive weapons. CeeDee Lamb is the guy Josh would like to see at number 12. Not mad at that. CJ Henderson at 19, defensive back out of LSU. In the third round, is CJ Henderson? No, he's not out of LSU. CJ Henderson at 19, defensive back out of Florida. In the third round, he's looking at KJ Hamler from Penn State. Now, that's a guy that we were talking about, wide receivers that you can get in the third round. KJ Hamler is a guy to pay attention to. KJ Hamler is a guy not a lot of folks are talking about. He is a little bit smaller, but he is a speedster from Penn State. He could really do some things. Anthony McFarland, running back in the fourth round. That's Booger's son, ain't it? Ain't Anthony McFarland in that Booger's son? Anyway, I haven't heard a lot of people talking about him too much, but that's an intriguing little option right there. And then, of course, left a couple of openings, obviously a couple of picks in the third round and then another pick in the fifth round. So I guess I was saying, like, okay, Raiders, you can go ahead and do what you want with those as long as we go get these guys, CeeDee Lamb, CJ Henderson, KJ Hamler, Anthony McFarland, and go ahead, Raiders, you can do the rest. So I'm not mad. That's pretty good little lineup right there. Again, that's really good stuff. Now, I got this tweet from James White. It's really one tweet, but it's a three-parter. And I think I'm going to get kind of lengthy with this. So I said I was going to get to it on today's show, and I really want to. But I think the smarter thing to do, because this is a really good one, I think I'm going to lead off segment number three on tomorrow's show, on Wednesday's show, with this tweet from James White at James W on Twitter. It's one long tweet, but it's really a three-parter. And so instead of just rushing through it and not giving it the attention it deserves, I'm going to go ahead and take my time with it. This will be the one I lead off with on Wednesday's show. Well, on Wednesday's show in segment number three. So James, I know I told you I was going to get it in on today's show, but again, because I want to be able to take my time and really break it down and give it the attention it deserves, I'm going to save it for tomorrow's show if that's okay. Matter of fact, that's going to do it. I'm getting a little long on time, getting a little long-winded. Shocking that happens to me sometimes, right? Anyway, that's all for today's show. We're going to get into some more, obviously, on tomorrow's show as we get closer and closer and closer to the NFL draft, April 23rd. Before I go, here's an interesting stat from Josh Dubow at Josh Dubow AP on Twitter, the guy who his name was called on Mel Kiper's mock draft conference call twice before mine got called even once. Anyway, he says, interesting Clee Farrell stat for those talking up his ability as a three-down player and improvement in the second half of the season for Raiders. Farrell was on the field for 12 of 74 plays, 16.2% the final eight games when an opponent had third down and four-plus yards to go. Obvious passing situation. So, not a glowing stat right there from Josh, but of course, it's Josh, so what do you expect? Again, not mad at him because he's putting out the truth on stats and stats that are out there. You know, he's putting them out there. Not mad at him for that, but he's just always bringing them. He is always bringing them. And sometimes stats don't tell the whole story. Sometimes they do tell a lot of the story. So you could take it for what it's worth, but that was just something I noticed and I wanted to bring to the table before I wrapped up today's show. And that's probably why I get so lengthy, because my ADD gets me all over the place. But it's all good. I ain't mad. I wouldn't have it any other way. So that's going to do it for today's show, the Locked On Raiders podcast. Now that you've listened to this, you could tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Football. That's right. Locked On Fantasy Football. If you're a fantasy football guy, if you're a fantasy football girl, it's all good. Either way, go ahead and check that out and make sure you're back with us tomorrow here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Until Wednesday's episode, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.